all gonna die. But why not make it fun?
Howdy there. I'm Ben. You might know me from my YouTube channel, Ben of the Week.
I'm the host of the I Almost Died podcast. It's a weekly show where I tell the tales of the multiple brushes with death that I've had throughout my life. I also bring on fun guests to share their near-death experiences as well. Each Wednesday, we sit down and reminisce on the memories we have of almost becoming memories ourselves. So go ahead and pause whatever podcast you're listening to right now and go subscribe to the I Almost Died podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. See ya.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
well, you know, I need for me. I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports. This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we got Shelton J.
What's happening, man? How y'all doing?
You know what, man? I'm a little tired. Just a little tired, but I'm here. Ready to give the people the show, what they showed up for. But yeah, man, I'm doing well. Outside of that, FIFA 24/7.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, Q will be joining us, hopefully, a little later. So we'll see. But he did send over the topics. So we'll get into that later. But I think the most pressing thing of the day, the biggest headline of the day, was LaMarcus Aldridge retiring. And I was out, and Ramil from Low Mid sent it to FIFO and I, and it didn't really even have a lot of context. It was like, hey, y'all know LaMarcus Aldridge retired? Mm-hmm. It was like, no, but huh? Yeah, but all these things start going in my head. Is like, yeah, it's fitting because of the things that, you know, I've said. So once I found it, but I was like, nah, that something serious had to happen.
Yeah, I had to fact check him.
Oh.
I had to fact check him. So when he said LaMarcus Aldridge retired, I'm like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like that's just way out the blue. So then when I looked it up, and it was like he had heart complications.
Yeah.
And irregular heartbeat, I was like, damn, bro. So that kind of sucks, because I think that this is probably the best opportunity he's ever had to really win a chip, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people don't really understand the level of sacrifice that athletes have to make. They see the glitz and the glam and the lifestyle and the notoriety and the social influence. But LaMarcus had to put a lot of things on hold from a family perspective, from a personal perspective, to pursue his dream of playing in the NBA. And I think, you know, he said that he was scared, you know, and when something that serious happens, it's like nothing else matters. You got to take care of you. It's preservation of self. So I 100% understand it. But it's just sad to see, you know, how long he's been in the league, and he's been a dominant player in the NBA and, you know, and a contributing factor to the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, but it wasn't like he was just riding the pine like Brian Scalabrine or something like that.
He was playing well.
Was playing really good. So, you know, I know that was an extremely difficult decision, but an easy one, if that makes any type of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like what happened to Chris Bosh, that irregular heartbeat.
Yeah.
Well, I get it.
Was this, did it say whether it was complications from COVID or not?
He had it.
I don't know if he did or not, but that's what, you know, the heart issues in COVID have been going hand in hand with athletes. So I don't know if he did or not. That's why I was asking if y'all may have seen something about that. So I'm not sure.
I haven't. So I don't know. I guess. I don't know if he's had COVID or not, you know, or if this is something that, you know, he's dealt with. I'm actually trying to see if any new information is out. Since I heard about the news, you know, because you know, it just popped out of nowhere, like, you know, and he was gonna make them a problem. So, and the thing about it is that I think when I saw who did the Nets lose to? They lost to
the Lakers.
Nah, not the Lakers. It was somebody else. They lost to.
Lakers was the last loss.
Mm-mm. No, they lost to somebody else too.
Mm-hmm. It was last night. Kyrie was the only one playing.
Yeah, Kyrie scored 37.
And I was like, oh damn,
what team was that?
Was it Boston? Who was that?
Nah, it wasn't Boston.
Why I can't think. Was it Philly?
Yep.
Philly.
Yeah, it was Philly. And I was like, oh, LaMarcus didn't play. So, cause I was looking, I was like, oh, well, you know, the Nets may have sat all their players. So that's why they got the win. Not to discredit Philly, but you know, and LA didn't play, and now we know why.
Yeah. That was kind of sad. Like you said, FIFO was it was prime time for him to win a championship at this point, and for it to be taken away like this is heartbreaking. It has to be for him.
Yeah, it's you know, some guys just are not destined to win titles. Mm-hmm. You know, some are just, and you know, they're just, you know, it's just not them. Like, you get on this super team that, you know, for all intents and purposes should win the title, you know, with that stacked roster, and then this happened. And it's like, man, what do certain players have to do to win titles? And it just goes to show, man, just nothing is given. And when you think about, like, we criticize players, you know, or the media tends to criticize players often for not winning titles, not winning rings and stuff like that, you know, but at times there are things that are just not under their control. And while LaMarcus Aldridge really wasn't on that level where you look at him as a guy that should or should not win a title, it just made me think of other players like a Barkley, even though he played in the finals, but other players like that, you know, never got a chance to win one. And I don't think that, you know, should diminish their career. It was just the way things turned out. So sucks for him, man. Yep. So I was wrong, FIFO, last night.
Mm.
So the Luka
mm-hmm.
beat the Grizzlies
mm.
and not.
Yeah. Yeah, and did you saw what Ja Morant said?
He said he had to tip his hat to him, yeah.
Well, no. Oh. What he said to the about the Grizzly fans.
Nah, what did he say?
He was basically saying, like, if you're not out here cheering for, you know what I'm saying, the Grizzlies, then you need to, you know what I'm saying, not cheer at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just go find another fan. Go find another team.
Why are you mad?
I don't know. Because I didn't watch the game. I saw highlights of that game. So I don't know, you know, what it was. I don't know if, like, maybe the fans were booing because they lost again or something like that. I'm not sure.
Man, Drummond just stay hurt, don't he?
He's hurt again?
Yeah. Like, his toe got stepped on. So yeah, they're going to hold him out. So, yeah, that was about an hour ago. And then he was hurt for something else recently. So, anyway. But yeah, but no, I didn't even get a chance to see that shot by Luka. But they said it was crazy.
Yeah, it was a crazy shot. It was a crazy shot. It just looked like a circus shot, and it went in. But that was a heck of a comeback because they had no chance in that game, if you ask me. In the end, you know, in the end, but somehow they pulled that out, and that was a defining moment for him. You know, you could put that on his list of accolades. And a lot of people said in
on Wait, the that shot?
Reddit. Yeah.
Yeah, I consider it to be in this highlight package.
Yeah. Just the way he made the shot in the moment. And a lot of people said in the Reddit thread that, you know, we were crazy for not adding him in our superstar list.
He was my honorable mention, though.
Yeah,
and just because we did it in order, so he's not a top eight superstar to me, but he's right. Definitely a superstar for me.
Thank you, FIFO. I agree with that. I think that we chose to narrow it down to eight, and he didn't make that top eight today.
Yeah, he's not top eight, but he a superstar though. Yeah. You know, because he already has the built-in international. You know what I'm saying? Like, he already has that built in. And in all honesty, let's be honest, in this league, he's a minority doing what True. He's doing.
Yeah.
And he has a swag to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of great European players, you know, Toni Kukoc, Vlade, mm-hmm. You know, Kristaps. You know, there's a lot. Peja, even Dirk. Dirk had to learn the swag. You know what I'm saying? By the end, Dirk has swag. At the beginning, Dirk was a damn deer in the headlights. But Luka has swag from day one, and it's different type of swag. You know what I'm saying? So he is a superstar, 100%. It's just, he's not top eight. Come on, man. And Giannis wasn't even in my top eight. I can't put Luka over Giannis just yet. Right. Even though if I was starting a franchise, I would take Luka over.
FIFO, this shot is some bullshit. I'm sorry.
That Giannis comment was disrespectful anyway, though,
FIFO. Like, what was the last one you said, Shelter? I'm sorry.
I said that Giannis comment in rating was disrespectful anyway. You can't, there's no way you can't put Giannis in your top eight superstars, because the man, whether you like him or not, he's a two-time MVP. How could he not be a superstar?
Well, no, he is a superstar. He was just an honorable mention.
How can you make, if this man is the reigning MVP, how is he not a superstar?
He is. He's just not top eight.
How is he not top eight? Who is eight players that are,
because it's my list. Giannis? And that's a little bit of the bias I have.
Hold on. You had Giannis in your top eight? I can't remember.
Giannis was number four on my list.
Ooh, that's way too high.
There's no way.
Make my list.
Yeah, I know.
Players bigger than Giannis in this game.
But you know what, Shelter? I think you're the only one that had Giannis on their list.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
it's not that crazy.
Two-time MVP.
Here's the thing.
That's cute.
Giannis is top 10. Yeah. If we had a 10, he'd be top 10.
Giannis is top four. He's top four, and in a lot of lists, he's top three. A lot of people say four is too low for a two-time. I mean, the league thinks he's in the top three.
You keep going to the two-time MVP thing. Like, that's a great accolade and all, but I don't think that's enough to put him that high.
The reigning most valuable player in the league is not a superstar.
It's not a top eight superstar.
Nah. Man, he's a reigning MVP. He's a champ right now. He's the people's champ.
Who's champ? Steve Nash was 1-2.
Now we were talking past tense. I would be a little more lax about it. But we're talking current MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot, there's no way you can put eight people above the current MVP. If that was the case, he wouldn't be the MVP. He wouldn't even be in the top two.
Yeah. Has he played in the finals?
Nah. No, he has not. Yeah. But that's not a prerequisite for being a superstar.
I mean, it helps. It helps because... You know, I'll put it to this way. If he played in a finals, you know, I would definitely rank him a little bit higher. I mean, I got Zion at number eight. So, you know, if you want to say that Giannis is, you know, over Zion because of two MVPs, then go right ahead. But at the same time, I don't know how many people, you know, I mean, Giannis is cool, man. I don't know, man. It's just too many flaws. I know he has an international appeal. The man can play.
Here's the thing for me. I mean, the finals, even the finals thing is dope, and it's part of it. But at the same time, this is a team game, so I could score 55 points in a game, and we still could lose. So because of the players I'm playing with, so. For me to win MVP means I stand out, me personally. And like I said, if it was a past tense award, I would be leaning towards y'all because I get what y'all are saying. But because it's present tense and because we're speaking of the present and we're speaking of the present for 2 years in a row, there's no way we could eliminate that man off the Mount Rushmore of current basketball players.
Here's the thing to me. Again, like, I'm not going to argue that he's not number four. You know what I'm saying? But that's your list. This is my list. Now I agree that he is one of the best players. Mm-hmm. And he affects, outside of probably LeBron and CP on that list that I made a top eight, I would say that Giannis is the third best player in a sense of affecting winning. Just winning. Regular season, whatever. In terms of getting your win percentage up, Giannis is going to do that for you.
Yeah.
He's a superstar. But at the same time, the flaws are too big. in my opinion, to not be corrected by this time in his career. You know what I'm saying? Like, he should, they shouldn't be losing because of him. They lose in the playoffs because Giannis cannot dominate the way he dominates in the regular season. To me, that's purely on him. So, yes, that is a knock. Yes, it is my bias, you know what I'm saying, because it's my list. But he is top 10, though. Like, I can't be that disrespectful to a two-time MVP, to a motherfucker that damn near averaged 30 and 15, like, from a perimeter standpoint. He has a big man height, but he plays on the perimeter.
Yeah, so even if I took off Zion, I would put Luka at that spot before I would put Giannis.
Y'all disrespectful.
If we talking about, so if I look at my list and talk about playoff moments, Zion don't have any, right? That's that's legit criticism. But Luka, the impact Luka has had in the playoffs, he's hit game winners in the playoffs in big moment. He took you know, he basically dragged the damn Mavs into competing with the Clippers.
Give me one Giannis playoff moment.
Shelton, he's on your list.
Giannis really, and you're right, that's really not the game that he's shown to have. But it doesn't take away from the fact that this man averages a double-double. He still averages a double-double in the playoffs.
He top 10.
That ain't top 10 worthy. That's top 3-4 worthy.
Nah.
Ooh.
Nah.
No.
Man, four is way too high.
Like, to me, in all honesty, I take James Harden. Everything Giannis does on the defensive end of the floor, you know, and you got to play defense to win championships, but you still got to put the ball in the bucket. And Giannis doesn't do that in a half court good enough for me. I would take Harden. And I'm not saying that Harden is a better overall player. Harden is better offensively. We haven't seen a player score like Harden ever. He is extremely unique.
And he's still doing it on a loaded
team.
So let me ask you, because on Joel Embiid was on all our lists, right?
Yeah, what he was on mine. Yeah, he was on mine.
What was his playoff moment?
He had a big game against Boston.
Yeah.
I can't give you like one play in that game.
So you gave me a game.
But he's had a big game.
And they weren't losing series because of him.
Yeah, I can make that argument. Mentality, Cam. Yeah. You know how I feel about Giannis. That's his main weakness.
I'm talking about Embiid.
Yeah. Oh, I said Giannis. I meant Joel. I meant Joel.
I don't know, man. Seven games, you know. The only thing the only credence I would give to that is that in that series they lost to the Raptors, he was hurt. So he was in and out. And I'm still convinced that if he was fully healthy, they would have won that series. And I think health played a factor. So, I mean, I can give you guys that. But I think in terms of popularity, I think Embiid is way more popular than Giannis.
Giannis is a household name. And that's another reason I was going to say him.
Like, Giannis is a household name.
Yeah. People know who Giannis is. They don't know his last name. They can't pronounce his last name, but people know Giannis. Giannis is up there.
I didn't know Giannis was a household name. That's news to me, but okay.
And then Joker was on my list, and Joker deserves to be ranked high, but he ain't higher than Giannis. Zion's on my list, but now that I think about it, once again, I think that I would have to put, because of his playoff moment, if you want to count that too, Luka would have to go right above Zion, which would make Zion an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Because of the playoff moment.
Yeah. And I was just saying, if I was to edit my list to include that as like part of a requirement, then I will put Luka in there based on those things. But you know, I like Giannis, man. He's lost some steam to me, man.
Thank you. Wu Young says Giannis averaged 27, 14, and 6 in the playoffs last year. Thank you for those stats, Wu Young. So
what was the shooting percentage?
Hmm.
He can get that by just walking on the court. Like, that's easy for Giannis.
because he's a superstar.
You know.
Yeah. We're not. Look, we're all in agreement. He is. Where he is, that's the difference. But he is, and he's top 10.
See, here's the thing. I think he gets penalized for what he doesn't do, which is still better than what people can do, if that makes sense.
But you know what, though, Shelton? There's a blueprint on how to win the game. You know what I'm saying? There's a blueprint on how to win championships, right? And I don't buy all this. There's some players that I buy that championship isn't the biggest thing for them in their basketball career. The reason why I understand that is because you have to have balance. There's some people that are extremely maniacal, and that's the only thing that drives them. And then that means that there has to be people that they don't give a shit, right? So I get that. Mm-hmm. However, the top tier guys, the top 10, top 15 guys in the NBA, we expect them to compete for championships. If that's not what's driving Giannis, then that's another flaw. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's not about highlighting what you don't do well. It's about highlighting what you need to do to win the championship. Right? We got on LeBron for not having a back to the basket game. We got on LeBron for not having a consistent jumper. What does LeBron have now? A back to the basket game. Is he dominant? Does he dominate the game with his back to the basket? No. But if he has a little point guard on him, that's what he's going to do. And he has multiple moves there. He has a consistent jumper. Now, has he shot some Dame Lillard, Steph Curry threes and airballed them? Yeah, but he's made a couple of those too. And he's the best three-point shooter that the Lakers have to offer over the last two seasons. So my point is that where Giannis is right now, I'm not even saying he should shoot 35, 36, 37% from the three-point line. I'm not even talking about the three-point line. Giannis is so dominant that all he needs is a couple of face-up moves and a couple of back-to-the-basket moves. He is one dribble from the three-point line and dunking. Yeah. You don't need a lot of moves, but you need moves. At the end of the day, you got to be able to absorb double teams and make plays. You cannot allow people to wall you off in the playoffs. You cannot allow people smaller than you to guard you primarily. Obviously, they always bring a second or a third defender, but you can't allow that. That needs to be a foul or an and one.
Yeah.
That's my issue.
We got to, and I agree. Like I said, I don't disagree with any of that. I think that Giannis has a lot of room for growth that we haven't seen yet. I think that are we ever going to see it? Probably not, because we would have saw it by now. But even taking all that in consideration, he's still head and shoulders better than his competition in most cases. So in saying that, I just think he's just rated a little bit higher. We got a super chat from Kayla McCoy. As always, man, we appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for rocking with your boys. Appreciate all y'all with the super chats. Y'all keep them coming. Kalen, I had to find his because he'll super chat. Then he'll say the question. But he said, we can't ignore that Giannis got gentleman swept by a number 5 seed. Mm. And that is true. But like somebody said right after you, and won one series by himself. So, yeah, he lost. And once again, did he play his best game? Not all. He ain't giving us his best. I still think Giannis has another gear, another level, and he needs to work on his game in the offseason at some point. Just like Ben Simmons, same thing. They still have to take steps naturally to get better than where they are. That's what keeps Ben Simmons from being a superstar.
How many more off seasons, though? That's my question.
It should have been here by now. But once again, even if he peaks out and never does, Giannis is still up there. He's still ranked high. He's still a two-time MVP. You can't take that away from him. And he's the reigning current MVP. That says a lot for me.
Okay. Well, and B about to snatch that. But all right, man, let's get into this main topic, man. It's about the Clippers. It's what Q sent over. Hopefully he'll be able to join us, but
Q ain't come. Q ain't come.
Nah, because I really want to know what he mean by Kawhi watch. So I don't know if he's wondering if they're gonna leave after this season if they don't win it. But I guess I'll start with the first one. Has the Clippers gotten a pass for the 2020 season? I mean, losing a 3-1 lead, supposed to be the bad. What did Kawhi had the little crown on the the dash on the mirror and stuff like that. Said it was his city. You know, Pat Bev running around the court, yelling and barking at everybody, telling what he tells Steph Curry, "You had the last 5 years, these are mine, and we can't find him anymore." And only for it to go down in an embarrassingly tight fashion. And here we are. So when you really think about it, have they gotten a pass for 2020? I think they have.
They have. Why? They got a pass, and I'll tell you what saved them, actually. The real thing that saved them has been the headlines this year, the injuries and the thing that's going on. You're focused on this year more so than focusing on their failures from last, if that makes sense. That's their pass. That's really the only thing that saved them. Plus, we didn't have a full offseason like normal to dwell on the season before. Last year was kind of like, because it was so off, and y'all know I got an asterisk by it. Y'all know how I felt about that. But anyway, the fact that this season rolled around so fast, it seems like a continuation of what we just left off. It seems like the second part to this story happened so fast that we didn't get a chance to dwell on last year and kind of give them the business like they deserved, because they deserve to be chastised and scrutinized and, you know, talked about for what happened last year. But they were saved by the quick turnaround, and that's putting it plain and simple.
I don't know, Shelton. I think that's giving them a pass, you know, about taking that angle. I think, you know, if we look at – this is why I don't have Kawhi on my superstar list, because he doesn't get scrutinized like a bunch of other superstars. Yeah. If I – Steph, Durant, LeBron.
His circumstances is different.
I know, but yeah, like, yeah, no, real, for real, Giannis. If Giannis would have done that, like if Joel Embiid would have done that.
Giannis has done it.
3-1 lead, well, I'm top just, team, like but, those circumstances, and it just fall apart.
No, nah, Giannis hasn't had that. Steph hasn't had that.
They would still be talking about it to this day.
But the reason why I think that it's okay to give him a pass year one. It's year one. It's a lot of changes. It's a lot of changes outside of LeBron. And we know it's primarily because of LeBron. No shout to D-Wade or, you know, them dudes is great too. But wherever LeBron goes, you go to the championship with him, right? And Boston is the only two teams that in year one, when you put something crazy together, that it's worked like that. And you actually got even to the dance, because Miami didn't win it the first year. They got there, but they didn't win it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things that, you know, and what do I always say, Kat? Like, you got to give things a little bit of time. It was unfortunate. See, the reason why I think that people are so ready to pounce on them is because of how much shit they talked. And they didn't back it up. Because even though the Heat didn't back it up, at least they got there. These guys was talking like they won it already.
But they didn't get pounced on, though. It was in the moment, all the jokes and stuff like that. But that was it. They're like, they still clown the Warriors for blowing a 3-1 lead, being 73-9. I understand it's a little bit different.
It's a little different. And then the other thing, too, is this. I think that now is the real pressure. That first year, it was like, okay, yeah, y'all nice on paper. How's it gonna look? Did they get where they needed to go? No, they lost in dramatic fashion.
People hadn't won to the title. Like, they were saying nobody was gonna beat them.
Not many people on this telecast.
We had one.
I said not many people. I know you. Come on, man. You know, and that's why I didn't want to say no names, because he ain't here to defend himself, but it is what it is. You know, that's why you gotta listen to people that know what the hell they talking about. But with that being said, man, like, look, year one was year one. It was bad. It looked bad. It tastes worse because of how much shit they talked. Now, we know that wasn't who you are. And now, you better win.
I don't think people care anymore.
You don't?
Nah. Like, when this season started out the gate and they started out hot, people are like, oh man, they're gonna make up for it. New coach in town. They fired Doc Rivers. They blamed him. They blamed PG-13. They act like Kawhi didn't even play in that game. It didn't.
That's what I was gonna say. That was the point I was gonna make. Ken, you're right. Now we talked about pandemic P. Everybody talked bad about Paul. Paul George caught it, so he heard it. Yep. But you're right. Nobody said Kawhi. It was all Paul George. It was everybody else but Kawhi.
Yep.
But you know what though? Here's the thing. This is also one of my theories, right? Like superstar players in the playoffs should be the best player on the court 5 to 7 games in a 7-game series. 5 to 7 games, that is the minimum that a superstar player should come up to show up and ball the hell out.
Where this going? Go ahead.
Kawhi, I don't know if he balled for 5 games, but he balled multiple games in that series. He balled multiple games. Game 7, he looked like a bum just like PG. He did. But PG looked like a bum that entire series.
No, he did not.
For the most, how many good games did he have in that series?
He only had outside. We're gonna take the 6 games.
The 6 games.
He had one where he scored 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard in those 6 games before Game 7 had one where he scored 13 points, and Paul George got off. They kind of took turns.
Mm-hmm.
They were like Kawhi had 20 average 24. Paul George had 21. People forget Paul George had some games like. I went and looked at the box score. That's how I know. So, because there's what I think happened, and then there's what happened. And he was like, right. And plus, I was arguing with Nick about it because he wanted to throw stats and try to basically kind of go at the angle like Kawhi was balling, you know, that whole series. Like, nah, Paul George got off, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the backboard shot happened. But people forget, like, Kawhi was stinking up the joint.
Yeah,
like,
no. Kawhi was equally as bad in that game 6.
Yeah.
Equally.
And the thing about why I understand where you're coming from with that, we also hold superstars accountable. Like, when those 5 games, one of those 5 have to be when your team needs you the most, and that's Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
So he picked the wrong game he picked the wrong one of those 5 that you mentioned. So I think they've gotten a pass, and, you know, it is what it is. I think people were enamored. They were caught up in the allure of Kawhi going to Toronto. So there was a lot of narrative built into it. Oh, he went to Toronto, won a chip in his first year. People running around saying he was the best player in the world. They think that he's like LeBron. Wherever he goes, he win a title.
No,
you know, like that. And
he ain't got it like that. There's only one player I've ever seen have it like that.
It could happen this year. It could happen this year.
So my question to y'all is, if Brooklyn loses, will they get a pass?
We'll be back after this quick break.
Based on what FIFO said, that it takes a year.
It's possible.
There's no way in hell they're going to get a pass.
No, they won't shouldn't. Get a pass.
They got too much firepower.
And that's what I was about to say, is that, you know, Kawhi is Kawhi, and Kawhi is nice, and Kawhi is, you know, he the claw. But KD is like, bro, like we talking all-time most efficient scorer, like, you know what I'm saying? He's top 2 in terms of efficiency. Then we got James Harden, Mr. 50-point triple-double. And he got Kyrie, the best one-on-one player. Like, we can say about Kawhi, arguably the best two-way player in basketball. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What could you say about PG? Top 5 two-way player? Top 7 two-way player? We're talking about, like, guys that are really good at what they do versus the best that damn near ever done it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're talking about efficient scorers, name me a player more efficient than KD. I haven't seen it with my 2 eyes. Then you talk about best handle ever, hands down, Kyrie. Kyrie get whatever the hell he want, whenever the hell he want. And then James Harden. I've never seen somebody get fouled or go to the free throw line as much as him outside of Shaq. Like these guys are the best almost ever at what they do. Kawhi and PG are not the best ever at what they do.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, that there's levels to this shit. And
it is.
Brooklyn's level is a lot higher.
So I saw a stat. Go ahead, Shelton.
I was just going to say, we got a super chat again from Kaylin McCoy. Appreciate you as always. We need to admit the luck of Kawhi.
Huh?
He said we need to admit the luck of Kawhi. I agree with that.
Leprechaun champ.
Yeah, he was drafted into a perfect situation.
He was.
He went to Toronto on a pretty good team. It wasn't stacked or anything like that, but they were definitely a playoff team with a rookie coach, Nick Nurse. Ain't nobody know who the hell he was. Mm-hmm. And then they got to the finals. No Clay, no KD.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you start looking at it like there is no matchup for you on this squad now.
Mm-mm.
So, of course, he did what he was supposed to do.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm with, thank you. Thank you, Kaylin, man. Appreciate
that. Yeah, I agree. I was thinking it earlier. Y'all agree?
Yeah.
What was you going to say, Ken?
Nah, it was a stat I saw. I don't know if I saw it on Twitter, but it said that since Rondo has joined the Clippers, they are 7-0. Now, this stat can be misleading because I don't know how many games he's played out of those seven. So you know what people do with stats, but I think the question is, could he be the answer that they need to get to the finals and win it? Is he the missing piece?
My answer to the question is definitely yes. And the reason why I say that is I was watching some comments from Paul George after I think his first or second game with them. And he named him as the unquestioned leader. He was that person that they were missing. In Kawhi, you have a quiet captain. You have a person who leads by example, who does it more so than speaks it. And Paul George, you have a person who really needs to concentrate on his own game and making sure he's in the game mentally prepared to go and do things. In Rondo, you got the floor leader. You got the general who can put you in the right positions, who can watch from the sidelines and tell you what to do and garner that respect from his teammates throughout the game. So that's the piece that was missing off a team like this, is a person that could bring that team together and who could help set them up to be in the right position to win. No, he's not the best athlete. He's not the best shooter. He's not the best defender. He's not the best anything. But he's one of the best leaders in the NBA. That's something you can't teach. You can't teach that. That's something that he came into the league with and has still to this day. Well, he learned it, but he and developed it, but he already had it. CP3 has it. LeBron has it. Those are just a few who can affect the game without their play on the court. And he's probably the best out of everybody at that. And I think wherever he goes, he brings like a moxie and a attitude about him that helps to dictate the game. Him and CP3 are the best at that in the world. And yeah, I think so. I think he can make the difference.
I'm going to say no. Man, I'm a big time Rondo fan, but I think his impact and influence might be a little bit overrated here. Mm. I also think that there are just certain organizations that are just destined to just not win anything. But, you know, the Cubs broke their curse, you know. So things happen. Cleveland finally got one, but it took a guy like LeBron to do it. So you need players that can break through that. And Rondo, man, I think what I heard, Shelton, that, and I haven't heard that until you said it, that's concerning to me. When you've been playing this season, this many games, as many games as they played, and this guy come in and he's automatically the leader. What the hell was going on before he got there? Who was leading the team before he got there? You know, I know Kawhi, and that was a criticism of Kawhi, that he's just too quiet. Like, you know, he's too standoffish. We already know about Paul George, but, you know, and lose the coach. So, I don't know what you expect from him, you know, but for him to step in and be the leader automatically like that, that's a lot of influence and weight that they're giving this guy. And we've seen in moments last year where when he was on the court with the Lakers, you know, he was like bad for them. Like he wasn't a factor. That's why people were actually a little bit surprised that he made as much of an impact as he did in the playoffs. But he went through a stretch where he wasn't good. So what happens when that happens in the finals and you don't have LeBron or AD to back that up? So I don't think, I think his impact has been a little bit overrated, man. I know there's playoff Rondo, but I think he's probably been a little bit overrated here.
This is why you got to have a point guard on the show. It don't matter how old a point guard is, man, the mind is always fresh. And I agree with Shelton. Both PG and Kawhi are finisher wings. They're not initiator wings. Now, can they do it? Of course, mm-hmm. because they're that skillful. But if you are consistently asking PG and or Kawhi to initiate offense, get everybody else involved, like control the flow of the game, you're literally taking those guys out of their game. That's not their game. You know, so I definitely think, and even Pat Bev is a defensive point guard. Lou Will is an offensive combo guard. They didn't have the guy that's just going to set up the table. You look at some of the playoff moments just last year during the championship run in the bubble that Rondo had. There was one game I couldn't even tell you. I want to say it was like game five or game six against Denver. The man scored like 19 points in 20 some minutes. Rondo. Rondo's not known for scoring, but great point guards know what their teams need when they need them. Sometimes, you know what? This guy, he can't guard me. I'm going to get to the bucket. Or we're only two fouls away from the penalty. We need to get to the penalty now. I'm going to force the issue. That's where Rondo's thinking. Kawhi, his job is, let me get to my spot. You don't got to think. Like when you're a receiver, when you're the finisher, you don't have to think about those little nuances. That's the reason why Rondo is valuable regardless of wherever he goes. Now, I'm not saying that he is the difference between a championship or not, but that is the expectation there. Mm-hmm. And having a guy like that gets you closer to fulfilling that. So therefore, it does compound the pressure because now you got a guy, maybe not the right guy or the perfect guy, but a guy that completes your biggest void. So it is not overstated. It's exactly what they needed. And Rondo, at this point in his career, all he's doing is competing for championships. This is the perfect situation for him.
It is. Kawhi, or it has been reported that he does want a real point guard. You know, I don't know how Bev or Lou Will took that, but it didn't. I don't think Lou Will took it well. But yeah, they said that he wanted a point guard, so he don't have to do those things that you're speaking about, FIFO. So, but again, it also sounds like it could be another baked in excuse for why they didn't get it last year.
Kid, come on, man. Look. Basketball is like pieces to the puzzle, and it all depends on how or where you start. The Clippers start with PG and Kawhi Leonard. What are the attributes of those guys? And then now you got to fill the void. They had a big void in somebody that can create offense for them. Somebody, and not even like create offense, because obviously PG and Kawhi can get buckets off the dribble. But what about everybody else? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that. That's the role of the point guard, is to tell people, hey, Kawhi got to go and move the hell out of the way, get on the ball. Or, hey, move the rock because we need to cut down this. Rondo is perfect, Ken, and I think you're being slightly, not highly, but slightly disrespectful to the point guard.
Okay, all right. So playoff P, since we're
breaking out. that's something different.
I mean, is this his chance for redemption? They win a title.
No, it is. Yeah. It is. Oh, yeah. Like at the end of the day, for them to win the title, he gotta play, you know, at an A-plus level. It is, bro. You're the second best player on a championship team. Mm-hmm. That means at minimum, you gotta play like Scottie Pippen. That's what you are. You gotta go lock fools up. They ain't going crazy. Obviously, superstars, you're not gonna shut them down, right? Mm-hmm. For the most part, but you gotta slow this up. Like get him angry, get up under his skin, take a couple hard fouls, do what you gotta do. But PG has to play at that level. He has to understand game time and possession, and he has to get away from the diva-ness. Oh, I didn't get this call. Why are you not calling the – no, get your ass back and go foul somebody. And then after they're shooting free throws, that's when you go blame the ref. You know what I'm saying? But, like he needs to get away from the diva-ness, and he needs to – he just needs to hunker down, man, and stay focused. He got to go off.
Man, he got to go off, man. If he goes off, yeah, I think he can redeem himself.
100.
He should. And this is the year he should have a good playoff series, period. I think he will this year. I don't know where I get that from, but in my mind, I feel like he's going to have a good playoffs in 2021. It's time.
Yeah, no, I think I think what hurt him last year was that Dallas series, because, you know, he played well after that, but that Dallas series, people couldn't get that out of their minds. And, you know, just kind of talking too much, you know, giving people too much meat to chew on, you know, talking about mental health and stuff, which is a real thing. And, you know, but, you know, people look at that stuff differently when it comes to that. And some people probably saw that as an excuse. So the last thing, Kawhi. So I think his contract is up this year. So if they don't get it done this year, does he come back? Like, is Kawhi on watch to go somewhere else? If he can't win here, is he like Steph? We got Steph watching now. We may have Kawhi watch.
Where would Kawhi go? Like, he could, but where would he go? Pray with LeBron. I think that is
that is not going.
Nah, I that is a good question. I don't know, but you know, at some point, you know, maybe he looks at Paul George, especially Paul George, you know, doesn't do what he wants him to do or thinks he could do. Maybe like look to go elsewhere. You know, where could he be helpful at? That's right on the cusp of winning the championship.
Talking about Rondo?
Kawhi.
Where can he go and be on the cusp of another championship?
Yeah, like he could be the piece that they need.
Atlanta.
Golden State with Steph.
Golden State with Steph.
Yeah. That would keep Steph there.
Yep. That would definitely keep Steph there. Portland. He gets Portland.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm penciling them in.
Yeah, Portland.
I'm penciling because at the end of the day, to win a championship, you still need a guy that can compete physically with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't give a damn what else you got, how many flamethrowers you got. If you don't have a guy that can body with LeBron, see, because like look at what Golden State had, right? They had multiple guys, even pre KD, where Iguodala. Iguodala didn't have to score 30 points, but LeBron came through that lane. And I'm not saying that
stripped
he hurt
the ball.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Hitting them, just physically competing with him every play. Mm. You need guys like that. You know what I'm saying? And Kawhi is the ultimate guy outside of KD that you want to be able to challenge LeBron. So he go to Portland. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Where else? Where else
Man,
can you go?
CJ and Kawhi.
Even if they got rid of CJ.
I mean, CJ, Dame, and Kawhi.
Dame and Kawhi winning the chip. Bro. Denver, but Denver is already an embarrassment of
Porter,
riches.
Porter, man. I tell y'all. Jesus Christ.
I tell y'all. Next season? I'm telling you. Denver, and remember what I said in my 3-7 whenever Denver's going to win a championship is when MPJ is the guy.
Yeah.
Next year, he's going to be – and Joker's still Joker's team, but MPJ is going to be that number one option scoring, especially with Joker Murray coming back from injury. This, if I'm Mike Malone, I'm telling MPJ, hey, get ready, bro. You about to get 20, 25 shots a game next year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he putting numbers.
And then you got Bol Bol that should be rounded off in the form.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, Ken, have you seen some of the moves that he's made? Like, the man got ball handling.
When does he play?
He plays very sporadically. But I'm like, hey, look, okay, watch.
Speaking of a Bol Bol-esque type player, I shouldn't compare these two, but Mo Bamba, I don't know if you've seen anything.
He got hurt again,
I'm talking
man.
About when he played, man.
You know what, man? Like, He just hasn't been on the court long enough for me to. I liked him coming. Yeah, like I liked him coming in just because of the potential. He has a jump shot. He's super athletic, but
I didn't think it was there. But now that they got rid of those pieces and put him on the court, I was like, oh, he
can play.
Yeah.
Oh, remember when they drafted him? I'm like, bro, like, so you gonna get rid of Vucevic? It's 3 years.
Yep. So somebody, whoever's running that organization, was like, all right, man, we need to make a call. Something has to give.
Yeah, like why are you going to draft somebody at your best player's position?
Right.
That like high in the draft. Like, come on, man. Like, y'all been messing up.
Mm. All right. I guess Q will not make it.
Yep. You want to get into the rebuilds, or you want to wait for Q to do?
Because I know Q got some ideas. I know. We need him.
I know Q wasn't going to be Q running late means Q's not coming.
I know. But yeah, I think one. Well, let's talk about one. We'll at least talk about New Orleans because I think they're really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lonzo's contract is coming up for renewal, right? it seems like they have definitely given the keys to Zion.
Mm-hmm.
How For does sure. one, Brandon Ingram, take that because it was his team? And two, what do they do with Lonzo? And three, if Zion is going to be the guy, if this configuration don't work that they built around him or that they kind of defaulted to, together, then how do you put this organization, how do you do this? Because I think one problem that they have is Stan Van Gundy.
100%.
Yes.
That was a bad coaching hire.
Yep.
Bad coaching hire.
Yep.
And the fact that they jettisoned J.J. Redick says a lot. Yep.
And what he's had to say about the organization.
Yeah. I've said it, and I'm not changing my stance. I think that this is the best complementary young core in the NBA.
I agree.
Pass first point guard, a do everything powered point forward, and a scoring wing with length and size. Well, length size. You know what I'm saying? He's super lanky. But to me, this is what every organization that is going to rebuild should aspire to in terms of young talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we didn't even mention Jackson Hayes.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so you have somebody to fill in the void once you move on from Steven Adams. So to me, they've done everything right. I like all of the moves outside of Stan Van Gundy. You know, to me, he's not, I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan. And, you know, they're playing good because they're talented. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he's a bum of a coach. I don't agree with his philosophies. But some of the other stuff, Ken, that you were talking about, how Brandon Ingram feels about this not being his team. I think Brandon Ingram is the Eddie Jones of this era, meaning that he's going to put up numbers, right? He's going to put up 20 points a game. He's going to do it relatively efficiently. But you put him on a squad by himself, they're not a playoff team.
Okay, I feel that.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that his stats are empty because he does hit big shots. And you can tell his confidence is through the roof now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like he feels like, okay, I belong. And half of y'all motherfuckers can't guard me. He believes that and you see that. But I don't believe in him as a singular star.
Mm.
So whatever he feels, if I'm the organization, if he wants to walk in a year or two, I let him walk. Or I'll trade him. Like I'm not committed all the way to him because he is not. I can go get another guy that can go give me 20. I can go get there's guys that get buckets all day. I can go get a bucket getter. I can't replace what Zion does. I was saying that as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
What Zion does is so crazy because you technically are not really running plays for him. Yeah, he brings the ball up, high pick and roll. He's the ball handler a lot more now. But just his presence, you can't recreate that. So to me, Zion, and I would even say Lonzo, are more important overall to the grand scheme than what Brandon Ingram is because of what he does. I can replace what Brandon Ingram does easier than what I can replace what Lonzo and what Zion bring.
Right. And I think Lonzo is really a key piece more than Brandon Ingram. I do agree with you there. You know, and I don't know why they brought in Steven Adams. But yeah, I think you can let him walk. And then you got Jackson Hayes.
Because Derek Favors went back to Utah. They wanted a body.
And it made sense that you had a bruising defensive player behind Zion.
How does Zion attack? Zion is more of a face up than a back to the basket big, right? So when he faces up, he can
just get out of the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Steven Adams does the dirty thing. Hey, we got a super chat. Let me just do the super chat real quick. Hey, this super chat is from my mom.
Oh.
Hey, mom.
Hey, mama.
Do y'all think that Isaiah Thomas is going back to the Celtics since the Pelicans didn't sign him to a second 10-day, or will he end up with the Heat or the Bulls?
IT3? Like, Isaiah Thomas? Nah,
yeah.
Nah, he's not going back to the Celtics.
Nah. I think he has bad taste in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. I would go back.
I think the Heat will be a good look for him. Personally, to be honest with you, even though they have a log jam at that spot, some of those guys getting injured down the stretch would give him the Fordham ability to play. He's a veteran point guard that can come in and get you some buckets. You know, Oladipo went down. We know Dragic has injury issues at times. I just trust him a little bit to come in there and do like the little thing. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the Heat uniform.
I think it's cute that they're giving him, you know, some money to pay his bills. But if we're being real, he's done.
Yeah. His value is relatively non-existent.
Yeah, he's done.
There's a lot of other point guards in the league that I would rather have over IT at the moment.
Yeah, once he hurt his hip, bro, it was a wrap.
Yeah, because you talk about – look, like if IT was like 6'4", 6'5", okay, maybe. You know what I'm saying? But when you already 5'9", bro, and trust me, I'm a short motherfucker too, so I understand. And you can use short height to your advantage, but, bro, like you – if you watch IT's game when he was dominant for Boston, averaging damn near 30 a game, there was a lot he had to do. And even the way he plays, he – watch him shoot a jump shot. It's literally a jump shot. The man jumps like yay high off the ground just to get the shot off. That's a lot. That's expending a lot of energy. And then you also got to think about this. Even a fully healthy IT was one of the worst defenders in basketball.
Yeah.
So a diminished IT is definitely him and Trae Young are the two worst guys. And you can't hide that. So for a team with playoff aspirations, you like that's the reason why I like the Heat, because the Heat could surround them with other perimeter defenders and stuff like that. You can hide IT the most. So out of all those teams, he feels like a Heat guy.
That's why I say that too. Like I said, if you need him, just for spot duty. If you need somebody to come in for spot duty, I think he could do that. I think he'd be a valuable pickup just for spot minutes. If a person, like I said, what happened last year with Dragic going down with the injury. You needed somebody that's a veteran presence to step in that can maybe get you 15 on a night if you need him to. Not every night, but on a night, he still can. So that's why I think he would have served.
I agree. Because, you know, I still think IT's special. You know, because if you look at his numbers when he came into the league, he was the last player drafted. Mm-hmm. And his numbers were very similar to Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely think he's special. And I think special players, even when they're diminished, they still have special moments. Yeah. They're just special.
He had a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no, correct. He did. Yeah,
yeah. And it's not that long ago. But back to the original question you asked. I agree with everything you said about Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram to me would be better served to look at like the Scottie Pippen type role for himself in his own. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with being Scottie Pippen in this league. You know, learn to play some defense, but. I'm a scorer and I can finish, but I'm still secondary to a player like Zion. And I think that you're right about that. He can be replaced, but that's how he can make himself valuable is just by, you know, doing the little things as well as scoring the points that he's been scoring. Because what I see in Brandon Ingram is what I always told you I wanted from Kuz. It's the same type thing. They'll never be the number one option on the team that's going to be successful, but they could be an important cog in championship material. So, yeah, I think that right there is the main thing. You know, if Brandon Ingram's smart, he'll concede that role, be like, look, man, I understand I ain't the man, but I'm going to get mine, and I'm going to do what I need to do to help this team win and move from there. Because I don't know anywhere he can go and be successful as the leader as currently constructed.
No. He's not that kind of guy.
Nah.
He's just not.
And like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. It ain't nothing wrong. You know, Scottie Pippen.
That's easy for us to say, though. You know, because, you know, for a while, I mean, everybody was talking about him and Zion comes and next thing you know, he's like chopped liver. Nobody cared about him.
He's still important.
He's important, but the attention that he had gotten.
Oh, of course.
You know, so his ego may have swelled. There were times I would look on him on the court last year. I was like, I don't know how he feeling about this. Like he would force shots. He would he would ball hog and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's still trying to figure this thing out because he had to share it again.
Because he got away from LeBron to go right into Zion. That's
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, when you look at the Hornets, they got a you know, and I think maybe Lonzo's contract
Pelicans
is an issue. I mean, the Pelicans is an issue. But when you look, they got some really good, solid pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, Josh Hart, Nickeil Alexander-Walker has shown promise. You know, we talk about Jackson Hayes, which we haven't had a chance to see. So I think at that point, I mean, they're not going to be able to keep all of these guys, but you know, you start to find guys that's suitable to replace them and get in a suitable coach because, you know, Stan Van Gundy, man, he's just a retread. And, you know, his style, the way he do things, is just old, man. You need a younger, you know, more a different type of coach that can relate or adapt to this
100% generation. You know, one thing that always stuck with me about Stan Van Gundy. Obviously, I've never been in no room with this man or nothing like that. I ain't got no contacts in, you know, locker rooms and shit like that. But one of the most biggest voices in basketball, Shaq, said that when he was coaching the Heat, that Stan Van Gundy is the type of guy that's a nagger. He's just always whining, complaining about some shit. And, bro, I could tell you, especially, look, at the high school level, I more so understand it because you're building fundamentals. And 98% of high school players, they don't have the mental capacity. They don't have the IQ. So you need to stay on top of them. Plus, they kids, you know, I get it. College is where you start to give them a little bit more leeway. You give them concepts and you let them freelance a little bit more, right? By the time you get to the NBA, you're a fucking professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If man to man, I need to tell you what you need to do, then you just do it. Like, if I need to nag you, then you just on the bench. And you need to understand why you on the bench.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? And when Shaq said that, and I started watching him on the sideline, every play, like he just started to feel like a bad itch every time I watched him. And I was just like, I'm just turned off now, you know? And just hearing what JJ had to say about it, I'm good. And I think that is an organizational mistake. Yep. Hopefully it does not cost them a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because when you start to make bad coaching hires, certain players may get traded because you may favor the coach. That's the reason why I'm always in favor of, honestly, getting rid of the coach first. When shit don't go right, I'm going to get rid of the coach before I get rid of the player.
I mean, the thing about the Pelicans is we shouldn't be talking about a rebuild. Like,
no, not at all. You know, they should be ascending.
Yep. And here we are. And I think part of that is because of Van Gundy.
100.
You know, and I'm not part of this generation, but my observations of the generation from afar and working with them is that they don't like that nagging stuff.
Yeah. No, what? Nobody does.
Nobody does. But it was a little different when I was growing up because we accepted it as is. You know, you can yell. And
it was the culture.
You know, respect that authority.
Look at Bobby Knight.
Yep.
A motherfucker like Bobby Knight couldn't exist today.
Nope. But nowadays, nah, that stuff ain't gonna fly. And they are a little bit, they are more empowered to push back and say stuff.
Oh, 100%. You know what another issue of mine is, especially with a Stan Van Gundy type hire, how does that interview go? Because if I'm David Griffin, I'm asking you hella questions about Detroit. Why did you make these decisions? Why did, you know, there's a lot of why.
Was he there because Stanley Johnson was under him, right?
He drafted him.
He ruined Stanley Johnson.
He did.
Yep.
He did. And I would have more it would almost be rhetorical because it's like, it don't matter what the hell come out your mouth, bro. I saw what you did. Mm-hmm. There is no reasoning for you to have handled the Detroit Pistons the way you did when you have full autonomy.
They haven't even recovered. They still trying to recover.
Yeah. So, I'd 100 million percent be. And you know how I feel about Thibodeau. I'd hire Thibodeau before I hire Van Gundy, and I'm done with Thibodeau. And Thibodeau can still coach defensively. We're seeing it with the Knicks. Thibodeau still got juice in the coaching tank. Stan, I'm out. I'm out.
Okay. Well, there are more teams we're going to look at. So that is one, the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this team has a nice core. I don't think they're in rebuild mode just yet, but it feels like they're going to enter rebuild mode because of Stan Van Gundy.
100,
and that's going to be a problem.
And you know what? And we talked about it. When rebuilds go into ascension mode, is when you have your young talented guys that are cheap for the next 2 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go get you a veteran that you pay for only 2 or 3 years, and you surround them with veterans like a Gordon Hayward, like a J.J. Redick, like the Steven Adams of the world. But once you start getting rid of the veterans, what the hell are you doing? That's a step backwards.
Yep.
That's a major step backwards, because the youngins need the vets to understand how to win in the league. Mm-hmm. You cannot, I don't even, LeBron, you cannot win without veteran. Carmelo, remember we talked about it on Tuesday. He made the lead, or he made the playoffs as a rookie, but that team was low. Kenyon Martin, Chauncey Billups, Vashawn Leonard. Was Vashawn on that team? I think he was.
I remember him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vashawn Leonard. Birdman. Birdman was on that team at some point in time. You know what I'm saying? Like they had veterans. Yeah. They had veterans. So it's like, yo, Carmelo, yeah, that was a rookie mistake, but keep getting buckets. But this is what you need. You know what I'm saying? Like there was that. But I don't know, man. Like, Stan Van Gundy. Come on, David Griff. Like, and you know what, man? To me, that's strike number one.
Yep.
That's strike number one. Because when David Griffin got hired, I'm like, okay, they're going in the right direction.
I thought the same too.
And it, what was the cause? Did they fire Monty?
Yeah, I was.
What was it, Dave Griff that fired him, or the previous regime fired him because of?
I think it was the previous.
Yeah, regime. It was the previous regime. So who did Dave Griff?
I'm trying to think, who did they have last year? I can't remember. Maybe it was Monty. I don't know. Let me see.
Or was it Alvin Gentry?
No, that Alvin was right.
Gentry. Alvin Gentry. Yeah, it was Alvin. It was Alvin. And you know, I'm not that high on Alvin as a head coach. To me, he's the North Turner of the NBA.
Oh wow!
Look at his head coach record. It's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, we thank you guys for once again showing up to the Thursday show. We'll try to have Q on next week, and we'll be back next week, next Tuesday. Make sure you guys like and subscribe to the show, and turn your notifications on, man.
Oh, real quick before we go. I wanted to see what get y'all's reaction to Jadeveon signing with Cleveland.
Man, look,
there wasn't one for me.
Boy, there was really? For me. Cause here's the thing,
I'm over him.
I'm not. Well, here's the thing. He's not no superstar, right? But he's definitely a contributor.
I'm just disappointed, man. I feel you so much from him.
We thought he was supposed to be the Black J.J. Watt. That's what he was supposed to be. He didn't become that. But he is a disruptor.
Yeah.
And when you look at that Cleveland squad, maybe. It's like, I don't think there's no other player in the NFL that has more pressure than Baker Mayfield.
Oh, he's fine with pressure. Mm. He's last season, that was a lot of pressure.
It was. And he rose. But you know how I feel? That had a lot to do with OBJ getting hurt. I don't know if OBJ will be back at the beginning. I don't know. But what I do know is that there is no – look, the best team in the AFC, there's two, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens and the Chiefs. Those are the top two big dogs. And then Buffalo is coming up. Pittsburgh is a damn quarterback away from being great again. With that being said, there's the top two. Then there should be the Browns. Then it should be the Browns. And are you taking the Browns as a serious Super Bowl contender?
Now I am. And not because of Jadeveon. I'm not saying it because of Jadeveon. The only reason I say that is I think they got their whistle wet this year in that Pittsburgh series. I think they got a lot of confidence playing without OBJ down the stretch. And I just think this team got a chip on their shoulder now. They're going to come back stronger, which I never liked the Browns. I never have. I never thought much of Baker or the team. But like I said, them winning that game meant the world to them. And I think they're going to come back and play strong this year. They won 12 games last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good team. Look, this is the reason you swap out any of the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL and put them on that roster, and it's Super Bowl expectation.
Correct.
That's a Super Bowl roster. Top to bottom. Offense, defense, everything. Running back, wide receiver, O-line, D-line. Linebackers are decent. Secondary is improved. But that D-line is amongst the elite now, especially with adding Jadeveon. So in my opinion, it's the only reason why nobody is higher on the Browns is because of one player.
Baker.
And I just I don't know, man. Look, look. This is make it or Baker. Like this for real, because if you don't at least get to the AFC title game, you got to move on. He's not the bro. You give Tom Brady could come to this squad and win a Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah, wealth of experience. I agree. He has way more experience than
shit.
Than Baker.
Look, I'll put it to you like this. If Carson Wentz was on this roster with the year Carson Wentz had last year, they would be talking Super Bowl. I'm not saying they would be the favorites, but Browns and Super Bowl in the same sentence would make sense.
Because he has more talent than Baker. I got you.
Sam Darnold. I'm not a big Sam Darnold guy like that.
I got you. I see more talent than Baker. Well, I don't know. They were saying draft. He's been better.
Baker's had way more.
Yeah, Baker's had the most chances of any quarterback I can think of. I mean,
how many quarterbacks drafted into a situation where you got Jarvis Landry, Njoku, two running backs, and another OBJ? Like, who gets drafted into that scenario?
And what did he do with them?
Nothing. Oh, Pat Mahomes gets drafted into that scenario, and what happens? They win a championship.
You can't say that. Nothing. The man got to the playoffs last year and won a playoff game.
Last year.
Yeah.
But how many years has Baker been into the league?
He didn't have all those pieces when he first got there. I don't remember.
He had OBJ.
He had a lot. He didn't have OBJ when he first got there.
That team. He had Jarvis Landry. No, he didn't have what they have on defense now. They have Miles Garrett and Denzel Ward, and that's about it.
But he took over halfway through his rookie year.
Yeah.
First year with a bad coach. They changed the coach.
So you say he's a bad coach?
The guy that they hired. Yeah.
Okay.
But remember, I was saying that the reason why I was like, you know what? Let's see if a coaching change makes a difference, and it did.
Well, no, because remember they went to Freddie Kitchens first,
right? That's what. Oh yeah, I'm talking about the bad coach.
Oh, so Freddie's the bad coach, not Hugh Jackson.
Yeah. No, I think they did him wrong. I think they did the brother wrong.
Okay,
but. He's done. I think we're hard on Baker. We had like Baker didn't have a good year last year. I guess that's what it sounded like to me.
No, Baker had an ascending year.
Yeah,
he looked very average, pedestrian, and then OBJ got hurt, and he looked like a completely
different player. And maybe you saw what type of players you need. Maybe he is the guy, and you just need to braid him up and just get him pieces. I don't know. But
so are they gonna trade? Are they gonna trade OBJ?
They should. They should look. I think what happened to OBJ last year was a gift and a curse. It's a gift because you saw what Baker could or should be, not what he could be, what he should be, because he proved it,
or what he can do,
or what he can do.
Well, same thing, I guess.
Right, and then I think for OBJ, it just proved that his value to Cleveland is just not there.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he struggled, and I don't think it's all 100% because of him. You know what I'm saying? There's Baker involved, the O-line. The O-line just got to elite status. But with all that being said, I think OBJ's value to another organization a la Green Bay is way more to what it is for Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? So in my opinion, if I'm OBJ, I'm not going to make a big fuss about it. I'm not making a stink, but I'm like, yo, just trade me. You know, say Baker's good. Y'all don't need me. You know, Jarvis is my brother for life. Even if I'm not playing on the same team, we're good. You know what I'm saying? Like, just trade him. Just trade OBJ is too talented and too much of an NFL influencer to be put in another situation like Cleveland. Go send this man to the Chiefs. Go send him to the Pats even. Go send him to Green Bay. Go send him, go send him to Miami. You know, like, go send him somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Like, his value to Cleveland just isn't there anymore, man. And it's just sad to see somebody that could have passed Jerry Rice now not even be mentioned in the conversation at all. Like, OBJ was on a pace of all time. Like, he's going to be top three in almost everything, and now he's nowhere near that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
All right, was that it, Sheldon?
Hold on, let me ask y'all. Do y'all think OBJ comes back 100? Like, or does he look, or is he going to be different? His game's going to be different.
I think he's going to be the same, but he's been quiet.
You know what that means?
Yeah, he put
in that work,
man.
Yeah. Yeah. I would really like to see him in another uniform and give him a shot to kind of, like you said, get back on track to do that. He just have to stay injury free going forward, though. That'd be the only thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't see how with as many weapons in this offense and with how limited Baker is, because Baker is limited, but I still think they got a shot. You won't be able to get him the ball enough for him to be the factor that he could be on another roster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you put him opposite Davante Adams.
Man.
With A-Rod.
Yeah, that'd be sick. With A-Rod, that'd be sick. That'd be sick. Because like I said, in Cleveland, he wouldn't get enough touches for it to matter. Mm-hmm. Not at his level of dominance. Because got them running backs got to get the ball.
Yep.
Like I said, both of them going to get the ball, even receiving the ball out of the backfield, they both can catch. So that's even more profit share that he won't touch the ball on. And it just makes sense. And then when he is there, Baker's trying to force the ball to him, which makes Baker even worse. It's just not a good look. It's not. When he wasn't there, Baker relaxed. He put the ball where it needed to be and not where he thought it should go because he was trying to keep up with stats and making sure people were happy. Yeah, so that don't work. He needs to be somewhere where they can get involved and make it happen for him. And like you said, Green Bay is ridiculous because Adams looked amazing. And he always has won me fantasy championships with double and triple teams. You know he's getting the ball. You know he's going to get the ball. And you still can't stop him. You can't stop him or Rodgers.
Yep. And it's so funny when you watch Davante and A-Rod play. Aaron Rodgers literally just throws the ball to a place. And he's like, Davante gonna go get it. If he don't go get it, it's gonna be incomplete. But Davante go gets that. He's like Julio in that sense, where you just throw it up there, but he gonna come down with it.
And I'm like, how? And then the crazy thing is, he's the goal line threat. It ain't the running back. It's him. Yep. They pass. I said, I won the fantasy championship because I knew inside the 10-yard line, they're gonna pass the ball. And they're gonna throw it to Davante Adams. People wonder why Aaron Rodgers didn't run that in. It's because he's so used to throwing. If you look the whole year, that's all he did was throw it to Davante Adams. Open or not, he was going to make a catch. So that's all he knew. He didn't think about running in because he was going to throw it to him. Davante Adams, to me, and I've said it all along, is one of the best receivers in football right now.
Oh, 100.
Mm-hmm.
100. 100. Yep. Him, Julio, and Cardinals. What's his name? D-Hop.
Yeah, yep. Him and D.
M3
and
right even, there.
Yeah, that's it. And I would put him above Julio. Him and D-Hop neck and neck.
Yeah. Julio just doesn't score the ball like that.
Mm-mm.
He get all the yards, all the catches, he just don't score.
He's been hurt a lot lately. If he wasn't hurt so much, it would be different.
That but too. He has a lot of nagging injuries.
Yeah. Him not scoring and part of that's not, well, most of that's Matt Ryan. That ain't even really him. And the other part is in injuries. You take that away, there's nothing else.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us, man. We'll catch you guys Tuesday. We out. Peace.
Peace. Y'all hit that like button, please.